Blog Talk Radio.
There they go, they're going to start already.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like
to say fuck them.
Yep.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I gotta get this out of the way because somebody sent me a thing and I told them I'd do this.
That's fine.
So while I'm doing this, because they're already trying to change the music, so I'm gonna give them something a little to think about.
Okay.
We got the two clowns out in front of my house in their van again.
They gon' do a little something for you real sexy, like, you know what I'm saying? Hey, yo, check the verse.
I lay on the back when we make good love. Listen to some more of the game, long and old. I want that whole thing back.
Okay, I got him out of the way. This one's for them.
Thank you.
Okay, you're up. Hey, I don't know if you heard that song, but right now, in the beginning of this, is that you, Alicia?
Yes, it is.
In the beginning of this, they tried to change the songs, and now we're coming from New Zealand. I won't say where we're going next, but if you're in the chat room, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm actually in the car right now, so, yeah. I haven't figured out the chat room yet, so I don't even know what I'm doing with that. I can't even figure it out for our own show, so, but I'll see if I can figure that out, get in there, see what you're talking about. Yeah, but thanks for taking my call.
No worries. So what's on the agenda?
I am actually this Saturday going to be appearing it's in Millsville, New Jersey, and it's Millville, New Jersey, I'm sorry, and it's Party with the Jersey Devil. So I should be there between 2 and I'm going to say like 6, maybe 7 o'clock. I'm going to try and do some photo shoots with some bikes and stuff like that. They're going to have different contests. So I might be emceeing some contests and, you know, maybe put my 2 cents in. I think there's two lesbian kissing contests or something like that. So there's a bald beaver contest. You know, I don't know which one I'm going to enter yet. But it should be fun, though. I'm looking forward to going there. It's my first time, so.
I know exactly what's going to go on at the Ball and Beaver.
Oh, yeah. Well, is my beaver going to come out? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it will. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, and then I have.
Okay. Is Mike gone? Is Mike gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
Mike, listen to me very carefully.
Hold
you
on
get
a second,
there, and if you're going to take pictures.
Wait.
Mike, if you're going to take pictures, make sure you get permission first. Otherwise, you won't have your camera when you leave.
Yeah, we're going to have photo releases with us to get them signed from anybody we shoot a picture of.
Okay. I'm just warning you about that. A lot of people don't do it. Where I was in an event, and a guy was out there taking pictures of the bikes. But he wasn't taking pictures of the. He was taking pictures of the license plates.
Oh.
No, yeah, I don't want no pictures of that. That's for sure.
And then he got nervous when I broke his camera.
Oh wow.
Well, you know what? You had reason to break it because he wasn't really taking pictures of your bike.
No.
I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah.
So do we ask first before we take pictures?
Yeah, you got to ask permission.
Ask permission. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we'll have some good pictures, and then you know we can send them to you, and you know put them up on our site.
I can give you a four word thing. Show respect, get respect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly. I agree.
All right. That goes both ways, right? Like no one's gonna manhandle me or anything, right?
Well, no. Okay.
No.
No. It's. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
You'll be able to do whatever you'd like to do, and nobody should get out of line.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. Like I said, it's my first time going there, so you know we're going to go with Norm Keller, who is the editor publisher of East Coast Biker. So you know I'm really looking forward to that. But tomorrow night, tomorrow night on the show at Triple X Porn Star Radio, we have a big announcement tomorrow night, so I'm excited about that. So if you're not doing anything, you want to call in or listen in, I'll be saying it all night long. So
have a mouthful. I mean,
I'll have a mouthful, but, you know, I'll pull myself together after a while.
I'm not even going to go there, but I want to tell you one thing, though. I did find, I went looking for another sticker. You know, the one I told you about says, Ride a Big Daddy, he'll never walk the same again?
Yes.
I think I got one coming.
Oh, okay. All right. That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I'll definitely put it on, I don't have a motorcycle, but I'll put it on my car. Yeah. But no, thank you. And I appreciate you taking my call. And I hate to make this short, but I actually have, I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. It was terrible.
Wow. All right. Well, take care.
All right, thank you. And hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow. And if I can call in again Thursday, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, what time? Oh, sorry.
Just make sure I get a flyer, please.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get Mike to send that over to you tonight. I told him already, so hopefully he can do that. Hey, Nora,
okay.
How are you?
Hi, how are you? Fine.
Good.
We will be on your, I'll be on your show tomorrow. I don't know about Phil, but I'll be there.
Okay, cool. I look forward to talking to you then. Are you staying
cool
now?
What's the topic going to be, do you know?
Well, same as last week. I have to redeem myself. And, we have a couple callers calling in, and we have a big announcement tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
I can give you a hint. It's one person who's calling in is actually taking over another night. So
a good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. So we're up to four nights, which is good. So
that's
I am
exciting.
Excited about that. Yeah, it is. But thank you so much for taking my call first thing. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, I will talk to you.
Have
tomorrow.
A great night.
Thanks. You
okay.
Too.
Okay.
All right, be careful.
All right. Thanks. Bye. All right.
Bye.
Hello there, Swad. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you all doing?
Fine.
Good.
How
are
you
doing?
I have some good news to report. Well, I guess it's some interesting news, but take it as a very positive sign for the boycott on the LA Calendar Motorcycle Show. First and foremost, you do know, I don't know if we mentioned last show that they had been removed from the country club.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they're at the Calabasas Inn, which is a much, they were demoted. They also came out with their, about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or so, a week and a half ago, they came out with their 2012 partial list of confirmed vendors.
Right, I posted that. I posted it on the blog. And I got the first day it had 300 hits by noon, people reading it.
And it was great. It was like, you know what, they had maybe 10 to 15 vendors. Did you see what they just recently did the other day? God, I got a chuckle out of it. They beefed up their new vendor list with their Singers and the Cupcake Factories. And, yeah, they're just rolling in relevant vendors now, because you know every biker wants cupcakes at their events.
Yeah, they had when I was at it was funny because when I was at the diabetes ride, they had diabetic cupcakes.
See, that makes sense. It's relative to the diabetes, but it was just so funny because if you look at last year's vendor list and just how long it was, and with the different vendors, biker vendors.
Well, Bill and I happened to go to that one last year, and I didn't see all the vendors that were on that list.
Yeah, well, this year they even have, it's not even a third of what they're supposed to have had last year. And so within the next 2 days, the flyer with confirmed details should be coming out. We will be staging at a local business and doing a very, a short, just a couple-mile ride in, to the protest area, organized, very law-abiding, into the area, parking the bikes, and then, having our protest.
Yeah, did anybody check on permits or anything to make sure?
I did that. I went down to the city of Calabasas, and like I said, I had all that recorded and videotaped and everything. They don't have any of this. They've never ran into it. They said the city is not used to protest.
So what they said?
There's no permit requirements. I mean, they said, if it starts becoming within the hundreds of people that show up, then, we're going to have to make some concessions because then it becomes a special event.
Right.
And then that requires law enforcement, and as we speak and as more people are getting involved,
But I don't see how, okay, they're saying law enforcement is going to get involved. They're already involved.
They're going to be there.
They might not be there as strong
as
they'll get, but they'll be there.
Yeah, but they're saying if we knew that we were going to have 300-plus people, we would have to actually hire and pay for off-duty officers to know, due traffic or whatever. We're not going to run into that issue because if, as we go, you know, it makes more sense, you know, for us to have people rotating throughout the day than to realistically think that, you know, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., you know what I mean, that everybody's going to stay. So as I've ran into different groups, I was like, look, if you could roll through, that would be wonderful. Spend a half hour, 45 minutes standing with us. And there's actually a very large ride that's organized for that day that just got announced. And it's a Unity ride.
Right, I heard about that.
Yeah, East LA Bikers is one of the clubs that's putting it on. And I did send them an email and said, hey, look, would love it if you guys could make one of the stops, you know, here at the protest to show, you know, your support and stand with us for, you know, for however long you guys can, but at least make it part of the ride. So it makes a difference. I haven't got an email back. I don't expect any, you know, anytime, you know, today or tomorrow, but, you know, hopefully they can incorporate it. That because they're run about at least 400 people deep when they do these rides. I know. So
now, with the ride that you're talking about, what is that for?
It's an unrelated event.
Okay.
It's a Unity ride. It's primarily the sport bike community, but not exclusive to the sport bike community. They just announced it today. It's the flyers floating around Facebook right now. What it is they just get they invite all the different clubs and including solo riders, and they just go out for a day of riding.
Okay.
You know, all differences get set aside. Every different kind of patch, different nationalities, ethnicities, everything. They just come together and they ride. And that's when I invited them to please, you know, if it was possible, if they could make the protest one of their stops. Hopefully,
right,
you're back soon on that. That would be wonderful.
Now, is this just for a ride, or is it in regards to, say, for a charity or something that's taking place?
It's just a ride. There's no
okay.
dues, fees, or charges, or anything like that. So
it's just a Unity ride. Okay.
Yeah, which I love the concept because they really are doing great things, you know, trying to, you know, bridge the gaps and stuff like that between different, you know, clubs and whatnot, which is good. So, but yeah, so we have that. The location of the staging of where it's going to be, you know, like, because I know in the morning when we meet, I'm going down tomorrow to set logistics and stuff. I'm talking to certain business owners and seeing if they're okay with us using their parking lot. I'm going to be tomorrow's, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and doing all of that.
Okay.
And
now, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, has this been done before, or will this be the first time?
No, it was done last year too.
We didn't have a physical protest last year. We did a boycott last year.
Nobody went.
Dude,
well, Bill and I had to go because we were involved in one thing that we had to be there for. We couldn't get out of, but we didn't stay long.
Yeah, and so, but to actually have like picketing signs and protests and bullhorns and the camera crew that plans on being there, the media that we're working on getting there, things to that extent, this is, you know, we're hoping that it really has a very large impact.
Well, yeah, you know, and if God forbid something happens or somebody happens because of you have a strong showing and somebody gets arrested, you know what, it's going to be at 11 o'clock, don't you? Biker protest turns violent.
You know, and it's going to be, you know, discussions beforehand. That's why it's going to be important for people. You know, we'll come back on with more details. But in order for people to, when they go, to really know, you know, it's a passive situation. We're not there.
Yeah, we're not here. We're not going to be there. We're not going to be there to fight anybody. We're just going to be
yeah.
there to let everybody know that this guy's fucked up.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, we can't be doing more harm than good because this guy says that we can't assemble peacefully at a motorcycle function without killing each other. And,
right.
you know, the one club that comes down or anybody that comes down and creates issues, all they're going to wind up doing is affirming that it's true, doing a lot of damage to the motorcycle community. And really, it's really going to be bad for that club. I think that the pressure from the rest of the community is going to be so great.
Right.
You know, that's another thing that we want to do. Is, and it sounds really bad, and this is not in a threatening tone at all. One of the considerations at this point is to watch the patches that are going into the event.
Yeah.
And a lot of clubs depend on, for their toy drives and for their events, they want your support and they want you to go.
Yeah.
But if you're going to turn around and slap us in the face, you know, there's a list of people that cross the line that can go out and say, these
you heard what Bikers for Christ did, didn't you, in Vegas?
Uh-huh.
You heard what they did, right?
No.
Okay. You know Pastor Z, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He had 30 members with him. So as they got off their bikes, they all took their colors off and turned them inside out.
Okay.
Drove the cops nuts. Needed to walk around all day and never got bothered till they were getting ready to leave. And then he asked them what was what. They didn't have to. And he didn't show them.
Okay.
Drove
and
them
they were
nuts.
Wasn't that when they were saying they were more scared of not knowing who they were than they
Correct.
Were of knowing
Correct.
Who they were?
Correct.
Okay, I remember that. I do recall that. But, you know, it's putting out a list of saying, you know, I'm sorry, but when you have XYZ Motorcycle Club cross the line and basically, you know, slapped everybody else in the face, well, when XYZ Motorcycle Club hosts an event, I won't be going. I will put out a suggestion to other people. Do you know what XYZ was? I'm not saying to strong on them or do anything bad to them. That's not what we're about. But I don't have to support you in the future.
Right.
And that's where, when you speak with your feet, don't go to their events. Don't go to their annual dances that they have on, or their fundraisers, or all whatever that they do, because they don't care about the true nature of this community.
No, all they want is the dollars.
Exactly. And it's about time that the community stuck together and did more things like this, of like, I'm not playing politics with you.
No.
And you stab this in the back. I don't have to make nice with you now.
No, and I get approached every day, 3 or 4 times a day, to advertise on this show and to advertise on the blog. And I turn everybody down. And the reason I do that is so we can do what we need to do without anybody telling me what I can and can't do or what they feel is not appropriate.
Yeah, it's got to be about, you know, the community. And I know that right now one of the guys, Art, is taking from MMA. He's going
right.
to the COC tonight and taking information on the boycott to the COC down in San Diego. And I want to tell him thank you if he hears this. You know, appreciate what he's doing. Bobby's doing so much on his end. I mean, everybody, you know, I'm really new at all this, and I tell people all the time, I'm real, real new. I have a lot of passion, but I'm trying to make sure I'm getting it right. And these guys have been amazingly helpful and you know, and it's been awesome, just the outpouring of support and people that are jumping in. And, you know, it's still open for people to jump on in and help out. You know, there's nobody's closed the door on this. So
no.
To jump in, God, I'd love to have more people on board.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get some. I mean, maybe we can talk Fran into coming up and taking some pictures.
Hey, that would be great. I know that I'm going to book a room not too far from the staging area for the night before, and you know, at least have, you know, where we can be making the signs and all that other stuff. We were going to do a rally the night before, but things just didn't work out. And I said, you know, there's a lot to get done the night before anyways, for the signs and for, you know, flyers and all the different stuff. So there's
uh-huh.
going to be a lot of work to do, so, you know. We'll have more updates. I don't want to take up your whole show again this time, but we will have more updates, and we will have concrete, you know, links and sites and stuff like that for people to, for logistics, for where to park in case they don't go for, you know, if they don't come with us on the ride-in. Also for ride-in, you know, where to go, what kickstands up, you know, all that other stuff. You know, so we definitely want, you know, have all of that ready. You know, hopefully within the next 2 days, I should have everything, you know, laid out in concrete so we can really
promote it. If you got any flyers or anything you want posted, send it to me.
Definitely will. And you guys have been awesome. Thank you so much for everything.
Hey, you know what? You know that AB 1047 and AB 1890 are on Brown's desk.
Oh, yeah.
He has 2 weeks from last Thursday to sign it. But I put it up in the chat where you can send a letter, write it, send him an email, call him, whatever you need to do to get a hold of him to tell him to support these two bills for us.
Yeah, supposedly he's a biker. He should, oh, no, that was Schwarzenegger, not him. Jerry Brown, I don't know what he does. I don't know if he writes or not. But, yeah, definitely, I got the information right here. I think, I'm getting started on all this stuff. It's a little overwhelming at first, but you know what? It definitely, at the end of the day, you know, it's all worth it.
Yeah, it is.
And
yeah. So, Nora, do you have any more questions about what?
Yeah, how long have you been doing what you have been doing? Has it been many years?
Was that me or?
Yeah, that's
for you.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as biker rights are concerned, I am very new, and I'm saying that within the last year. Now, as far as civil rights, my field, I was very involved in, you know, I don't know if this is the place. I worked with people who were HIV positive, and I was in politics.
Okay.
And dealt with, you know, I've stood on the doorstep, you know, in Sacramento. I have rode the buses, and I have done the fights and the marches, and so it's a little different, and it's, you know, but and I don't do anything on my own. I want to assure people that I make phone calls. I take no steps on my own.
And yeah, I try not to put anything out there without checking it out first, because I get approached all day long. I end up with 30 to 40, 50 emails a day. Just asking questions about how they can post something or do something. And I found out that this guy in Tennessee, he was in Afghanistan, and he left all his stuff at a rental hall, you know, a rental place, like a storage. All his stuff disappeared. And then after, you know, the story was good. Then after I did a little check, and I found out the guy never left the country, and it was full of shit.
Oh, man, yeah. I've been, you know, I'm such a passionate person that I've been pulled on to, you know, people's fights before, and I found out that I was, you know, I got used on that level before because I am very passionate. So this thing, I really did a lot of checking. I was involved last year with it as well, but, you know, this year was the one when I just really jumped in and with both feet and, you know, and didn't wait for someone else to do it.
Yeah. No, you know, the internet is a wonderful tool. You can find out about anybody.
Yes. You know, and let me just say, Bobby has been amazing. And anytime I have questions, we email and we talk on the phone all the time. And so he has definitely been helping me and connecting me with different people as well.
Uh-huh. Well, like you know, you're welcome anytime. If there's something that's really bugging you, you have my email address, send it to me, and I'll call you, and we'll go from there. And I'll schedule for more time in that, okay?
Okay, definitely. Thank you guys again. You know, I appreciate everything you guys have done and everything everybody else has done to help out. You know, I'm really looking forward to this and hoping that it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Well,
I feel that it should make a difference because, like, where I'm at in Chicago, you know, we have a Freedom Run every year. And the Freedom Run, you know, it brings in all different types as well, you know, and there's never any problem. There's never any reports of problems. So, you know, you shouldn't have any kind of issues, you know, with the run that you want to have. Or the ride, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, one of the things that I also hope, and I guess, is that there's a lot of people that don't know what they can do, or, well, I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know, you know, these people have, you know, training or whatever. And if anything, I can turn around and say, look, I didn't know what I was doing either, you know, and everybody helps. If we all work together, you know, jump in. You know, there's no starting point. There's no point A. It's just you just jump in and just start doing something.
Right. Exactly.
you know, and then all just starts falling in.
Don't be one of those 10 where one person does and the other 9 talk about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
So hopefully it inspires, and so that's what's important to me. This event changes or shuts down or does whatever it has to take to make it, you know, a difference, and then other people jump in and they say, hey, okay, I guess you can do something, you know? So,
yeah, and you know, I was sent something a while ago and I played it before, and I'm going to play it now because this is the way I feel when people question me. And I want you guys to listen to this.
Definitely will.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true? And point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do. Something that didn't even have anything to do with you. When deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth. That the ones who claimed to be your friends were never, ever really down with you till the end. But now you know just what is true. The bullshit and the lies you can see right through. Because the truth in their eyes speaks to the deepest part of you. Because deep inside you always knew that this facade ain't nothing new. That all the jealousy, hatred, and lies, that the truth about themselves is what they really despise. They dream your fall will help them to rise. But it's only the truth they really despise. Only shame on you for acting surprised. Because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies. Ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free. Because there is no justice and there is no peace. Accused by your peers, sentenced by your fears, condemnation beyond comprehension. Because there is no justice and there is no redemption.
Enough said.
Very cool.
Shit. Can't say it any better than that. And if you don't like it, tough shit. But that's the way I feel.
Thanks, guys. I will talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, have
all
a
right.
great night.
Thanks.
All right. So, Nora.
Yes.
You said you weren't feeling too good. You were kind of pissed earlier when I talked to you, so what's up?
When did you talk to me earlier?
Just before we came on the air, and I said if you had anything you wanted to talk
to. You know, I had talked to you several days back. You know, and there is a situation that took place that, you know, part of me should have stayed out of it, didn't involve me. But when somebody brings something to my attention, it involves me to a certain degree. I'm sure people deal with different things every day, you know, in some different form or manner, but I wasn't sure whether if it was actually a joke. You know, there's people that say that they want to, you know, take their life. And I find that it makes me very angry when somebody sits there and talks the way...
Isn't this what you're talking about? Somebody if they wanted to commit suicide?
Yeah. And, you know, because I thought, oh, God, what should I do? You know, and the thing is, it's close to where, you know, like my brother had passed, and he was in the fast lane for getting out, you know what I mean? And I couldn't stop him. I couldn't help him. I couldn't stop him. All I could do was just be there until he died.
Right.
And, you know, with this one person, when he stated that, you know, he was going to take his life, and I have no idea what his wife was prior to coming to speak with me. And, you know, the funny thing is, it was like I didn't know the person, didn't know really much about him, you know, except it was out of the Marine Corps and stuff. And I figured, okay, he's a sniper, you know, or was. They mean what they say. A lot of times, you know. And I was trying to get him to talk with me, give him my number. If he needs somebody, you know, I'm here, you know. Because you don't know who, if they're a whack job or whatever on the other side of the screen. You don't know. But fortunately, I took the route of he brought it to my attention and put me involved. I could have walked away from it, ignored it, but instead I went the other way, got help sent to him, even though I didn't have any idea where he lived. I mean, I knew the town or in the state. Hopefully that was right. Well, it ended up to be. And they actually got to him just in time.
Wow.
So it wasn't his day that day. Not saying that he may not do, try it, attempt it again at a later time, but at least that day, it was not his day.
Right.
You know, and I it angers me when I sit there and when people say that to me, because he wasn't the only one. There's other people throughout my life that have said that. And I sit there and I think, do people disregard life so much to just want to get out of living? I don't understand it. I'm sorry. I don't care how shitty your life is, how crappy your day is or whatever. You know, it's not worth taking it. I don't care. You know,
right.
I mean, I could have been in positions in my lifetime and I can't do this anymore. We can say that, but I can never go further than that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So at least I got a phone call back, you know, and they could just state that they got to him just in time.
Uh-huh.
And at least I was able to sleep that night knowing that I did something, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I felt on that. And I know it was hard because, you know, the only person I thought about calling to talk to about was you. And because it weighed on me. Should I have stepped in? Should I have stayed out of it? You know, because that's always going to be a question in anybody's head. What do you do? Unfortunately, I know I can't save the world. But at least I saved the one person.
Right.
That's not the whole world. That was one person.
Right.
But I do know people from my past where I've sat there when they've said it to me because I've gotten so angry. It's like, well, fine, go do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. You know, because sometimes that reverse psychology, it works. Or they just get annoyed and they won't tell you because they know you're going to just get pissy at them. it's hard to say. But, you know, unfortunately, this person meant it and was just hell bent to do it.
Uh-huh.
I just find it odd, though. How can people just go to some random person that they don't know and say that to? I don't know.
Well,
have you had
you
that?
Know, it's called desperation.
Okay, well,
maybe he knew you were gonna be the angel.
But that's, you don't know if he wouldn't have known if I would have been the angel or not. It was by luck.
Yeah.
You know. And but like I said, I don't care, like I said, I just don't care how bad life is. I've been dealt a crappy hand, but I would never sit there and do that. That's not me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grateful every morning when I wake up. I'm still here.
When
in certain times in my life I shouldn't have been, but I'm still here. And I'm grateful for that. I don't care what I have, what I don't have. Still here.
Mm-hmm. Let me, they're trying to do something to the server here. We're going to switch gears.
Oh, no, that's fine.
We're going to go someplace else, so I'm going to play this song real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G. Actually, you know what? This one's more appropriate for those guys. Hold on, friend. I'll be right with you.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent freedom.
Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I ain't a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. And the cops don't like me because I do what I like. It's American dream for us to live free. But when the feds think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't blame me, pig. You made me this way. I'm a pit in a cage built up with rage. Take off that vest, I'll kick your ass all day. Man, fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent that 1% but nothing but hood. So if you see that one with the diamond crown, you better make room, I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway, flying with my middle finger up like fuck the world, I don't give a fuck. They say I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% but nothing but hood. They say I represent
take some pictures of that.
When is it?
About 2 weeks away. I should have looked that up while I was doing something here, but I screwed up. Let me tell you the exact date. They're trying to screw with the server again, and I was trying to hold them off.
That's nothing new either.
I know. It's like they got nothing better to do.
Now, is this going to be on a Saturday, Friday, Sunday? What do we, you know?
I'm waiting for it. Let's see.
Well, I'm going to. I did play one thing. It gets to a point where people have a tendency to say, "Well, you know what? Fuck this group because they don't like my colors. I'm not going to go to that group because of this reason." And you know something? What ends up happening, and this is the dry spell that we have been in the last, oh, I'd say 7 years, is that everybody is only going to their own functions. No, very few people are going to other runs because it's not politically correct within their group. We've seen this before, and we're going through that dry spell now. Unless it's a event that is not, it's kind of like out there and everybody doesn't have a problem with it. And like I say, at what point are you going to stop going to all of the runs primarily because it's offensive either one way or another, because this Johnny's going to this one and Frankie's going to that one, and I don't like Missy Bell, and you know what? We're cutting our own throats each time we do this.
It's Sunday the 22nd.
Sunday the 22nd?
Yeah.
So are you riding up?
Yeah, Bill and I are going to try and get to that one because we want to get involved in that.
What time are you riding? Well, actually, we'll get together. We'll talk afterwards. I don't have a bit of problem with bringing up my camera. That's going to be phase two of Root Canal 2, because that's Saturday. I'm having second Root Canal phase two. I've already spent 2.5 hours in chair on that, too.
Wow.
I should still be good to go on Sunday morning.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. But like I say, you know, one of the things that I have a problem with, and we were talking through time about how bikers should be uniting, not fragmenting.
Right.
And we are fragmenting so bad. And you, when you say, well, get a leader to what? When
right. If you heard, I had Emilio on last week, and if you heard what he said, when I said we're trying to get everybody together, and he said, yeah, he said, it's time for bullshit to stop, and people start walking. Like Bobby said here, time to walk the walk, folks.
But you have groups that don't want to do that, and then you've got the new prospects that don't want to listen to those before them, or don't want to follow the way of the land and the laws that have already been put down before them. And so now you have a group within a group that is bickering. And so which one is going to win? And
yeah.
why should one win at the expense of others?
Right.
I agree with that.
What do you think, Nora?
What?
I said, what do you think about what she said?
Well, I've never ridden with a large group, you know. In the past, I've ridden with, you know, like 4 or 5 people. You know, it's not a big group. It would be amazing if something like that could take place and there isn't any repercussions, any incidents that takes place, because it's never been stated that you can't all ride together. True?
Right.
That's not the problem, Nora. What the problem comes in is it's coming down more to biker politics than outright common sense.
Okay.
And the common sense is we're all here at an event. If you want to fight, then you know what? This should be neutral territory. This is not where fights should be held. You have a fight, then go out in the streets and go do it somewhere else.
Right.
Don't involve the rest of us.
Right.
And you know what? It's kind of sad when there was the shootout in the casino, it's a shame that they had colors on. Because if they didn't have colors on, then they can't say, well, it was this group against that group.
Right.
Wow.
Something always where they have to pinpoint who's who, which I understand. And
right,
like
but,
I said, sorry.
No. What's the policy they have? Okay, this is what Swad wrote. And she said she had to run, but this is what she wrote before she's going to leave. But the policy is completely discredential. If you don't have colors on and you look like an outlaw, or if you come in a group not flying colors but look like outlaws, you will not be allowed in. And then everyone is subject to police security discretion. So basically some asshole that's working on his fucking day off is going to tell you if you can go in or not.
So does that mean if you have long hair and a long beard and a mustache and you're not allowed in?
Oh, I have long hair and no beard, but yeah.
Right, but what I mean is that that's profiling, because how many people have long hair, facial hair, or non-facial hair?
In this case, it's going to be selective enforcement.
So where would I fit in the scheme of all this? What should I wear? A vest? Should I not wear a vest? Should I wear one of John's vests with the patches, or should I not? Should I borrow a one percenter vest, which would be hilarious?
Yeah.
Only in this respect, and bikers would understand this. If I wore a Hell's Angel vest, everyone in the biker world knows that I cannot be a Hell's Angel.
Right.
Everyone
okay.
in the biker world knows you get your ass beat if somebody takes a picture of you.
But you know what? What would be interesting is to wear a vest like that and then have one of them tell me that I'm a gang member. Do you see the humor in this?
Yeah, that's the humor right there.
And you
because,
know what?
You know, there's going to be eyes everywhere.
But the thing is, if all of us women wore patches from Mongols, from Silver Eagles, from the Booze Fighters, where you know that a woman could not be a patch holder.
Right.
Okay.
They wouldn't look at
well,
it'd be whoever had it on.
But the question is, would they even know the difference? And at that point, would they treat us as a patch holder?
No, but I think you'd drive them nuts if y'all had on property of shirts.
No, not property of. I'm talking wearing the patches. And you know, as a biker, that women cannot be a patch holder of the group that I just said.
Right.
The property of, but you cannot be a patch holder.
Right.
So, therefore, if we went in wearing those vests as a patch holder, how would they respond? And do they even know the difference of what they're doing?
Doesn't matter if they saw, as soon as they've seen you there, you're not getting in.
Well, then I'd have to have issue with them because they don't know what they're talking about. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
It's ridiculous. I would have to challenge them, saying, what are you basing it on?
Yeah.
Did
well,
you
know, I'm going to send you, Fran, I'm going to send you a link I want you to go look at, okay?
All right, I can do that. But do you understand the downplay or the humor? And do they really, I mean, that's like when there were some officers holding a bartender to task for wearing an anarchy vest or shirt on Halloween. They interrogated it for 2 hours. For 2 hours. And the biker just looked at this guy and says, do you even know what you're talking about or doing?
Yeah.
They didn't, but that's besides the point. But
yeah,
essentially, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I just sent you a link. And let me take a minute here. I want to answer something. Swat, I'm going to tell you something. Bill is the same way. If you are, if you go in, depending on whatever your bike is, and you are to special, you are to something special, you usually have to pay for it before you get it. And a lot of times in the last couple of months, people have, they haven't been mad because they were told in the beginning it might take a little time to get whatever you're ordering. I ordered some stuff from my Dyna, and I waited 3 weeks, and that was from Harley. So unless they weren't truthful in the beginning, then yeah, I'd be pissed off too.
Well, like I say, I'm not sure if that would work, if it would help.
Yeah.
Would it? Would and this is something that I would. That, I mean, you know some legalese, okay? Would if there were a couple of us women that were together that were wearing a 1%er vest? And then we were turned away and forced their hand in trying to get us a reason for why we're being turned away.
Oh, they didn't tell you shit.
Well, but see, the thing is would a lawyer be able to take them to task and somehow...
Yeah, but not while it's happening.
Well, we can still make a stink while we're there.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hey, look, I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, I was at the Bad Ride, and I had on a shirt that says, "All motorcycle clubs are not street gangs." And I had about six Irvine Police Department guys come up and tell me, "Hey, that's a great shirt," until I told them, "Read the back."
Right.
Yeah.
The back says 186.22 is not true.
I saw that in your photos.
Yeah. I was at another party Sunday up at Green Mountain Ranch. Same thing. They were posted going in, going out in front, all over the place. And I had the same shirt on, busting balls.
Well, I don't have a problem with wearing any shirt as long as it's across the tits, and because that's the first place they're going to look anyhow. So you better give them something to read.
Well, you don't have no problem.
Well, it's true, Maura. That's the first
thing. I know. And the thing is, they think they're sly when they have their sunglasses on because, you know, they're still looking. Just because they have the shades on, they're so focused, and, you know, that's the only two things that men can focus on at the same time.
But you know what? That's why whenever I have a shirt, I make sure that it's right across the nipples, because that's where they're gonna look. And you can, even when their sunglasses are on, it don't matter, because their head is going to be looking down at it.
Yeah, well, the last thing that Swad wrote here was, I wonder if the Laughing Devils and their camera crew would get in.
That's funny.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, Bill and I saw that guy Gypsy at the Bad Ride. Like Bill said, he was real cordial and everything, and kind of like stopped to take pictures with everybody and stuff. But he had on a Sinister Mob or Sinister Syndicate Mob support shirt. And I went to ask him about it, and Bill told me, nah, let it go. Don't start nothing here. Because he doesn't own the rights to wear that shirt. Discovery Channel owns, they bought everything.
Did they really?
Yep.
I never do anything bad or wrong.
No, I know. You're an angel.
I'm an angel.
They even made a song after you.
Uh-oh, which
one? Yeah. In fact, let me take a break here before Bobby calls in. But this one's for you, Fran.
Uh-oh. He's scared. I can tell.
He's scared.
Never. What's the problem?
Oh, I'm no stranger to love.
661. Hello?
Hello?
661. Yes.
Oh, no,
you're live.
I'm actually getting ready to go to roller derby, so I just dialed back in so I could listen to you guys.
Oh, okay.
If you guys just throw me in the queue so I can, because I started roller derby, I'm going to practice, want to listen to you guys as I travel.
That would be interesting. Hey, do me a favor when you call in Thursday. Bill will be here. I want you to mention that because he really, I got a picture of him with a bunch of roller derby girls. They wore him out.
I just started. I'm 41, trying to hang with these 20-year-old girls. It's killing me. But
okay.
It just crossed some stuff off my bucket list.
Okay. All right, will you be safe?
All right, thanks. I'll just throw me in the queue so I can listen to you guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, Bobby, it does make my blood boil. So if you're ready to call in, it's 2 minutes after 7, and you got the rest of the time if you want it. I know you're on a roll here in the chat room.
Well,
yeah.
Question.
Sure.
Do you have a T-shirt that would be appropriate for someone who's shy to wear with a camera?
Yeah, it says FTW on it.
So does that mean you'll have it that Sunday for me?
Yeah. What size do you wear?
Well, do you want it tight or loose?
Well, it depends. You want the letter to stick out. It'd probably be tight on you. It's a large.
Then it should be a medium or a large. If it's medium, it's going to be real tight. If it's large, it's going to be semi-tight. Extra large is going to be loose.
Okay. I'll look for that shirt. I'll look for that shirt tomorrow. Go ahead,
okay.
Bobby. You're live.
Groovy. How you guys doing?
Hi, Bobby.
Puff, puff, pass.
So I'm not sure really what to add here. We are in the last couple of weeks, and Swat, I know you were on earlier. I didn't get on until after 6:30, but as a result of some very hard investigative work and constant dedication to trying to bring folks together for this boycott, Swat has managed to, I guess, probably not intentionally, but indirectly altered, I guess, where the event was originally going to take place, because they had since moved it. And again, hopefully I'm not repeating what she mentioned earlier, from the country club location to another of their properties, but probably not as nice an area at the Calabasas Inn. And also as a result, and again, it's without really knowing and interviewing and contacting the vendors directly, I would say reasonably about 60% of the vendors have since dropped out. So
yeah.
So that's we're very pleased with that. I'm very pleased with that. So, a lot of the work and the inquiries and the social media campaigns and word of mouth, particularly the calls made to the Calabasas City Hall and the Country Club by SWAT, probably put something in their ear about folks coming down there and protesting. And I'm assuming they didn't want to have anything to do with that, have that close to their country club. So that could have been the reason. Again, this is mostly a guess, but I will say that, where they are now with the number of vendors, and most of them are like food vendors and not really top-notch vendors like they used to have in the past.
They're going to probably have those small biker shops.
Right. So with any luck, this will hopefully drive the last nail in the coffin of this 21-year-old event. And I wish I'd been around and I knew how many years this promoter's been involved and how many years this policy has been used.
Yeah.
But to throw out there to Fran and everything else, the reason why this is important, and the reason why we're doing it, and the reason why we're going down there and documenting it, and I've mentioned this on other shows here, is because in the effort to bring attention to the issues that we as motorcycle enthusiasts out on the road, day in and day out, and not what folks see on TV shows like, you know, Devil's Ride and SOA. I mean, this is reality to us. This is our lifestyles, our lives is what who and what we are. And we need to capture, whether, you know, events like this, whether they're policy postings on bars and hotels and casinos, that we are being discriminated against. And even though there are current California rulings that give them the right to do that on private property, that doesn't make it right and doesn't make it fair, and it's completely unacceptable to many of us, including myself. So what we're doing is we're taking a stand. We're going to video document everything, and we're going to use the collective of, you know, data and information and videos from this and other events that we're planning on doing similar activities to, and then creating an argument, creating a bill that clearly shows what the issues are, and hopefully get some legislative relief for this. Because just like everybody else, I hate to use this vernacular, but you know, we're the minorities of this new millennia, right? While
right.
everybody else, religious or sexual preference or gender or pretty much everybody's protected now except us. And to categorically infer that just because we wear what it is that we wear, that we're more likely than others to commit crimes is completely fucked up. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's really the basis of this. It's not just that it's not right, which it isn't, but you know, the other purpose is to, because it seems the trend now is we're in the information age, where something can happen, someone videotapes it on their phone, it goes viral on YouTube, and, you know, it changes a lot of people's thoughts and conversations on the matter. And
yeah.
We need to do the same. We need, you know, motorcycle enthusiasts and programs, we got to, you know, fight, you know, the government with the same type of tools. We need to bring facts to the table. We need to prepare our arguments, and we need to take it to the public and say, hey, this
well, yeah.
is really, go ahead.
You know, it's like Phil and I, people ask all the time, you know, Phil and I don't care what you ride, as long as you ride. We have guys, oh, I can't go there because I ride a Honda. Oh, I can't go there because I ride a Crosstracker. Give a shit what you ride, as long as you ride.
Mm-hmm.
And what affects one particular group is going to affect that group. It goes on daily down here. Monday, it could be all over anybody driving a Black Dyna. Tuesday, anybody
right.
driving a Crotch Rocket.
Right.
Wednesday, the Hog Guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, might be Pastor Z with his cross on the back of his trike. Ryan will arrest him for a felony for a sword cross.
Right.
That's how fucked up they are.
Well, and to, you know, to also address, you know, some of the what Fran was saying also, is one of the reasons why California is so dysfunctional, so fucked up, is, you know, there's a air of truth in the notion that there are politics involved, you know, there are various clubs involved, and there are different, and there are several motorcycle rights organizations that, you know, traditionally haven't worked well together, even though we're trying slowly to change that. And the only way this is really going to happen, you know, let's roll back the years here, because this is really a civil rights campaign, basically. If you,
right.
you peel back all the vests and everything else, this is about civil rights and liberty, right? And
so
no
if
civil
you talk,
rights.
If you talk to some people, and if you talk to anybody, and you think about it, and you go back and you look at the 60s, mm-hmm. we're treated as second-class citizens, as well as the way the blacks were treated in the early 60s.
Right. And the interesting thing about this is it's really, you know, all exterior colors, and you know, but it involves pretty much everybody under the sun. You know, what closely links all of us is it doesn't matter what color we are, what bike we ride, our preferences, religion. If we ride, if we're in a club, more than, you know, we are viewed more likely than others to be criminals or terrorists. And that's really the bottom line on this stuff. And what I was saying is in every civil rights campaign or, you know, effort, the only way things get changed is for everybody to come together. And this is sort of the difficulty and the plight we've had here over many years, trying to get, you know, bikers from all parts of up and down California and across the country and, you know, different organizations to, you know, be able to come to the table and say, yeah, this is important enough. We got to put our history behind us. We got to put our politics and our egos behind us. And we just got to work together and get this thing done, because it's getting worse day in and day out. I just posted a link there about you know, the president edicting presidential authority to control communications in the United States. I mean, I don't know how much more of a wake-up calls we need. You know, it's just a matter of time before we're completely inundated with tyranny. So, you know, don't bitch about it later, you know, when you got all your rights taken away. It's really time to do it now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like that bill that Obama's going to sign about the Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing, too. Yeah. I mean, what was it? The Senator Rand from Kentucky, Ron Paul's son,
right.
has made it a point to come out and say that the UN and the U.S. are working together on a small arms treaty. And we all know that the UN is behind, you know, many movements to try to strip Americans, I mean, guns away from Americans, just as they have in other countries. And, you know, if we don't do something about that, you know, it's really going to be hell. You know, outlawing handguns completely and doing away with the Second Amendment. I mean, I don't understand, quite honestly, folks, how people can just, you know, I mean, history is repeating itself, and yet people just still don't get it.
No.
If I can jump in, I get a little concerned when you have where they're focusing on guns. And I guess primarily because, number one, I don't own a gun because I'd use it. But that's besides the point. If I needed to take care of somebody, I don't need a gun to do it. I could use a stupid pencil and kill somebody. And so does that mean, like, if I get on a plane, all of my pencils and pens should be taken away from me? What is going to be next as far as removal? What is it going to take for people to understand that this is just one small part to an overall of freedom that we're losing? What is it going to take for people to realize that they're voting in people that are putting in nanny laws, and these laws can't even be enforced, and even the officers will tell you they can't enforce them, but yet they're there clogging up the books?
Yeah.
I'm confused. I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, it's just like there was a friend of mine who was walking down the street in Oceanside, and he was carrying a 40 cal, and it was loaded. And this retired Marine, he's one OPD now. He pulled over and he got out and he was very cordial and asked questions and He almost, you know, when he checked to see if it was loaded, he almost fucking shot himself. But they said I'm a 22-year Marine, and kind of made me think, because that's the first thing I learned about it. You always check the gun. You don't hold it at your fucking chest and pull the hammer back to see if there's, you know, there's a round in the chamber. So it kind of scared the guy, because the guy said on the video, hey, you know, that thing's loaded. Don't point it at me. You know, this bill that we're talking about, it's the Global Arms Trade Treaty. It's called AT&T, or ATT. Is disguised as a way to prevent the proliferation of small arms throughout the world. It is, in fact, a backdoor way to legislate gun control in the United States and effectively repeal our Second Amendment. I just put a link up in the chat for that.
And
even local
politics are playing a part. In New York, they've instituted that stop and frisk policy. Right, to try to handguns and shit off the street, and even
right.
the mayor of San Francisco is contemplating using that same policy in the city as well. So, you know, it, like you said, it only takes one to start a trend, and you start seeing it in West Coast. It starts coming to the, you know, I'm sorry, it starts in East Coast. It starts rolling to the West Coast, and vice versa. And you know, before you know it, I mean. You can't even say the word gun without getting arrested.
No. And it's also on the keywords list.
Oh, yeah. Along with pretty much everything else in the frickin' dictionary,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to cut in, because we're already, our emails, as much as people don't like to think that Big Brother's watching, everything that is being sent out, keywords are being picked up.
Oh, sure.
And at this point, I mean, I use the word shoot all the time, and that's because I do photography. I'm not going to actually told by some individuals that I should stop using the word shoot and well, what else do you call a photo shoot? A photo sitting? So what are we going to do in a sitting? I'm going to shoot you. But I've been actually told by some photographers that I really need to stop using that word. Why? Well, primarily
we're slowly getting conditioned. We are, you know, American sheeple, which I call them, are
people?
Slowly over time getting conditioned to this stuff.
Yeah, it's like I always say, you deserve what you tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
I do
I'm surprised
like
we're all not salivating when we hear bells go off.
No. I mean, hey, there's two guys sitting on the fucking van in front of my house right now. They're here every fucking Tuesday or Thursday, like clockwork.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They probably got those sound devices.
Yeah.
Trying to pick up.
Yeah. Well, if you guys remember...
Are you kidding? Did you go out there? We should go walk out there. We should go out there and you know, take our video cameras and ask them who they are and identify themselves and stuff.
They won't answer.
They won't, huh?
Bill and I have done everybody. We sent a stripper out there to talk to them with no clothes on, high heels, and a smile. They wouldn't open the
door.
Damn.
Well, let me ask you this. What if you called the police on them that they're a stalker?
I've already done that.
And they wouldn't come to find out who the stalkers are.
No. No, if you guys remember about, it's almost maybe a month and a half ago now. I came home one day, and I haven't had AT&T in 3 years. And it was a fucking AT&T truck working on my phone box. After the guy left, took that little piece that he put in there, and then I took three drywall screws, and I zipped them through the lid. But before I closed it, I put a little sign in it that says, fuck you, they're not here.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
I called the police once on the feds.
What was that, Nora?
Sorry. I called the police once on the feds. Well, I didn't know they were on a stakeout. But it was right behind my property line in my backyard. And you don't park cars in the easement. You know, there's not enough room for it, and car sat there, and I was worried about myself and my daughter, and I called the police and the feds. Whoops.
Yeah, you know, well, a couple of weeks ago, I was downtown, and this is every time I go down there, this happens about an hour or so after I'm there. Two young guys in the car, stop girls crossing the street, turn the lights on, the blinking yellow lights, and sit there and proceed to have a conversation for 10, 15, 20 minutes. I sent the videos to the fucking police station. They haven't heard a thing yet. I sent an IA complaint. I haven't heard nothing yet.
Yeah, well, that
if it was me or you sitting
me.
There with our blinking lights on talking to somebody, we get a ticket for impeding traffic.
The scary thing is even during, you know, as we draw closer to the elections,
right.
We still have politicians passing these frickin' laws, stomping all over our civil liberties. Can you imagine once it's all said and done, November passes, we're into the new year, who we have, man. There's, you know, it's going to be hell in the next couple of years, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and everybody's going to say, oh, I didn't vote for him. Like a lot of people said, they didn't vote for him last time. Fuck, a lot of people, how did he get elected in if nobody voted for him, you know?
Well, it's just like, you know, the old adage, you know, sometimes silence is agreement or disagreement. I mean, I don't know. What really bothers me, at least about this election, is that there's not enough support for third-party candidates. You know, they always use the argument, well, if the third-party candidate comes in, it's going to take away votes from this candidate here, and, you know, it's going to make it better for the other candidate. You know, we need to re-frickin' trash this whole two-party system and, you know, bring multiple candidates to the floor.
Yeah, where's Ross Perot when you need him?
Right.
Everybody says, what are you, nuts? And I go, where's he at when you need him?
Yeah, I'm not very happy with the slate, I mean, the choices we got. No disrespect to anybody who likes one or the other.
Hey, you don't have to apologize to anybody, because basically, you're allowed, you can say anything you want here. That's why everybody has the thing.
So that was basically, you know, the only thing I wanted to bring up. We're down to the next couple of weeks now on the event, and this is something I'll share with you also. There was I was at the Monterey Bay COC on Sunday, and I'd heard about the policies down in Santa Cruz Boardwalk where they basically called out motorcycle clubs by name, okay? And a couple of known, I'm not going to call them gangs, but, you know, they're inner city gangs. And they basically, you know, go on to say, you know, particularly if you're with these clubs or associated, blah, 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 it constitutes their code of conduct. They call it a code of conduct, which
yeah,
pretty hilarious. But this is the first time I've seen, let me back up a minute. So, that was the policy that I heard. They actually had a sign out there posted. They've since removed it, but they hand out flyers. Now somebody that I knew came back with a photograph of a sign, which was, you know, pretty costly. It was actually, it looked like one of those plaques that you get from an award or something, and it had code of conduct on it. And this was from Thunder Valley Casino and Resort. Exact same thing with the exact same clubs on it. So, I mean, you know, the Department of Labor and stuff. We need to do something about this. Okay, it's gone from just the labels now of gangs and domestic terrorism to actual, you know, reciting clubs by name. And who in the hell knows where this is going to go to next? pretty soon we'll be walking down the street and see our fucking picture up on there saying, you know, this is a gang member. Don't let him in your establishment. It's just getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know yet whether, you know, to talk to some lawyers, determine whether or not there's any defamation of character, slander involved here, what kind of options that we may have. But that one just broke the camel's back for me, okay? It's one thing to issue a dress code, okay, and recite saying, hey, we don't want gang attire. It's another to start calling out clubs by name. And most clubs are incorporated. Do you know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, people can actually, this can actually hurt reputation-wise. People can, they can lose money. They may lose jobs. I mean, this is fucked up, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Actually, that goes deeper than that because if you have a tattoo, is that tattoo now going to prevent you from that position? Or
very good question. Very good question.
In a company.
As a matter of fact, I was told that there was a, this is in Santa Cruz, Beach and Boardwalk. An individual, a member of a club, was there with his family, and he did not wear his vest. He did not wear any club attire, support gear, anything. But he was pulled from a ride with his kid and ejected from the boardwalk for having a tattoo.
Yeah.
Basically, with a 1% sign or something. I don't know what kind of moniker it was, but he was ejected for a tattoo. So this is where it's going. And again, it could be selective because I know folks that have gone in there with their cuts on and weren't harassed. It, you know, it's sort of random, but it's still very, very concerning.
Yeah. I mean, you could walk in there with a red and white bandana on, and what are you? You're supporting. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So let me just, I just wanted to tell Fran exactly what this thing said because, I you know, this is, again, a copied policy, and I'm going to be very interested in following this and seeing if any other casinos or establishments use this as well because this is almost matched up word for word from Santa Cruz. Let's see. So go on for a second. I gotta look for it.
While he's looking for it, when I was talking about tattoos, I know that when I was teaching driver's ed, there were a great deal of parents that were overly concerned when I had a tattoo on my arm. Now, to prove a point, the tattoo was only a 1 week tattoo. You know, you put it on and in 1 week it comes off. But because of the stigma, because of what it represented, the individuals, the parents, there were a couple times where parents, when they found out that it was my motorcycle outside and that I was the teacher, they turned around and did not sign their kid up for the class because they were afraid that I was going to teach them some bad things.
Uh-huh.
And it's sad that that's what we are actually faced with. Now, California is quite a bit more liberal when it comes to tattoos. Not so in New York. You have to remember also with the police force now, if you have a tattoo, if you can't cover it, you cannot be an officer. I don't know if
right.
you're aware of that.
Well, you know where I work, and daily I see people with tats all day long, full sleeves, and they I asked them. I say, you know, they changed the rules. I said, how do they treat you guys? Oh man. You know, I wish I would have never done this because they give me so much shit over what this says, or I have to wear a Band-Aid over this word or a Band-Aid over that word.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so I found it here. So basically, their code of conduct and their policy is as follows. Wearing and displaying clothing and or accessories with gang insignias, monikers, or identifications, including a specific combination of colors or symbols common of gangs as defined by the California Department of Justice, is prohibited. This includes, but is not limited to, vests, jackets, shirts, hats, jewelry, pants, shoes, socks, shorts, or other clothing accessories or clothing strictly prohibited to the extent of containing any logo, insignia, moniker, or writing associated with the Hells Angels, Mongols, Vagos, Top Hatters, Ghost Mountain Riders, Norenos, Serenos, as well as any criminal, street gang, or identified or associated club. Then they go on to say, this code was developed to preserve a safe atmosphere and to prevent violence between opposing gang members occurring locally and throughout the U.S. Management reserves the right to alter, cancel, blah, blah, blah. That's sort of their way out. But, my God, it's like we're in a fucking war zone here or something. You know, they're still looking at Laughlin. How many years ago was that? You got shit on the streets every goddamn day with police shootings. What about those? I mean.
Well, look at what they did to that poor bastard in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
With an airsoft gun. And they told him. And the dispatcher said, oh, we don't, you know, because the guy was nerdy. He goes, my brother, and it's a fake gun. She goes, no, we just don't go out and shoot anybody. They got her face. As soon as they seen he turned around, and all he did, he just turned around, swung around with it in his hand. So now it's pointing at him, and they decided to pop him. Knowing that the address they were going to had a mentally unstable person there.
Well, getting back to the policies here, I think this is good to discuss because, you know, a lot of people who, when we post these type of things and try to communicate out establishments and then put the policies out there to try to light a fire on their folks, the general response is like, fuck them or don't go. And although, you know, trying to hit them in their pocketbook by not, you know, going there and giving your business is, you know, part of it. But that is not going to change the policy. And it's not going to, you know, it's not going to bring public awareness, and it's not going to develop any laws that's going to prevent it from happening. So this is why it's so disappointing or a little frustrating, because people's tendency is just to say, fuck it, don't go. Well, you know, freedom isn't free, right? How many times have you heard that?
So, yeah.
I don't know.
It's funny, he said, I never knew freedom was cheap. What was that? I never knew freedom was cheap.
Yeah.
Or freedom wasn't cheap or some shit. I forget. I'd have to look
it up. I think
it
goes, I never said freedom was cheap.
Yeah, there you go.
So, back to what's at hand, coming for the boycott.
Dig in, Fred.
Well, I want to bring this back to the boycott and having some kind of strategy.
Exactly.
Or something in which we can either hand out to bikers that don't really understand what's happening and why it's happening, and there's going to be a lot of those. Okay, we're dealing with those groups all the time. But one, educating them, maintaining the boycott, and what is going to be our next step? Do we get arrested? Do we not get arrested? And I think these are issues that need to be thought about, talked about, and how are we going to deal with it, and what are we going to do?
Well, and these are the exact things that you're right, Fran. We need to settle on some of these things going into this, because originally what I was looking for was to try and find as many folks in the media on the coverage piece. And it wasn't until recently, it started off as a boycott, but we always knew it needed to be a demonstration out there. And nor it was not our intent to try to force our way in or trying to say, hey, you can't, because we understand that there are California rulings that allow events on private property for them to put forth their own policy. But to your point, there needs to be some education, and it was our intent and desire to stand outside on the periphery, on the public side, on the public streets, and do our protests, right? And everybody coming in, hopefully we'll get an earful of what the issue is, and hopefully we can persuade people. Now, this is where we could potentially run into issues, right? Because there will be police enforced there. And even though we have a First Amendment right of free speech, and from my understanding from SWAT, who called the Calabasas Country Club, they have no permit requirements. Unless they vote something in here in the next couple of weeks and throw us off, we didn't have to have a permit to go down there and protest or demonstrate.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so quite honestly, this is sort of relatively new to me, too. But I do foresee some potential issues because, you know, we have to be coordinated in such a fashion that we need to have our voices heard, but we can't hinder the general public from entering the facility, right? Because that's one potential problem. So, I wish we can get the people that are committed to go, so we can start having some planning sessions and stuff. It's just, you know, it's sort of loose right now. And it looks like we'll be dealing with people that show up at the site on that day to try to get all this stuff worked out as best we can, because we don't really know how many people are going to show.
Well, is this one of those situations where we should have American flags but hang them upside down, showing distress? I'm just throwing that out there.
No. These are all good things. I'm glad to hear somebody else is throwing some ideas out there, you know?
Well, I don't know. I am from an era of occasionally getting into one's face.
Or trouble.
This is not going to be one of those. That would hurt.
Well, let me. You bring up a very good point. Right, because there are different ways to approach a particular, you know, situation like this, and I always go back, you know, to Martin Luther King and or Gandhi, and you know, we're trying not only to ensure that our voices are heard through the, you know, through the First Amendment, and educate those that look to try to attend this about the issues. The thing is we also, at least this is just me, I'm just thinking out loud here, the reason why they put these policies in place is because we're supposedly fucking, you know, crazed Mongols, you know what I mean, that all we care about is intimidating people. So, you know, part of what we're trying to do here also is alter the perception in the public eye that we're just people just like everybody else. So the notion of going in there and getting in people's faces, you know, I'm not so sure if that's the right strategy.
That's
right?
Correct. I agree with that. However, having literature to hand out, such as the poem that says, you know, I'm a biker in a grocery line, and I don't know who wrote that poem. I can find it somewhere on my computer, and it's like you held your purse real close. When we were in the church, you
right,
did
right,
it
right. Yes, I know that. I've seen that. Are you talking about that video that's gone out with the different people talking about it? And that was mostly for riders on the street,
yeah,
right?
No. It's for riders, but you know something? It was actually aimed towards the general public.
No, right. But it was about, you know, you see me on the roads, right? Was it that video?
This is where a biker is talking about being in a grocery line and a woman behind him clutches her purse as if we're going to steal it from her.
And it's
perception that people have on bikers that is, you know what, I'd like to see the general public put forth as much energy as we do four benefits. I would like to see, when I was at, this was about 3 years ago, where I was working next to a volunteer biker, and I was talking about, you know, whatever food is left over, I was going to bring it to a particular soup kitchen. And the biker says to me, I might be the next one on that list. I'm looking at losing my house next week.
Right.
And yet he was there volunteering his time knowing that he might lose his house next week.
Right.
I'd like to see some of those other people that are out there, these church-going people. I'm not just picking on church-going people. Don't get me wrong. But people in general that they say they're good doers come out and show some volunteer time and do some good.
Well, you know, this is another strategy that we, at least I was thinking of, but, you know, the time and all the opportunities just sort of got away from me here. Whenever you're involved in a civil rights type of activity, we're not the only disenfranchised group, right?
No.
It's always good to form alliances and partnerships with other like disabled people, right? They have a lot of problems themselves, and I know that the bikers, we've done charity work and helped them, and they've marched with us at the Capitol. We've gone to various events. So I tried to bring that out even further. I said, well, what about the ACLU? Well, unfortunately, they have their own agendas, and the plight of the motorcyclist just isn't one of them. Right, I've got no responses back at all, really, from the ACLU, which is quite unfortunate because this is exactly the type of stuff that would be up their alley. But you know, the other strategy that we couldn't get to that I'd still like to get to is trying to find other organizations to come, you know, do this. I mean, we'll certainly go and stand up with them, you know.
But it all comes down to, let somebody else do it.
Well, that's, you know, that's part of the problem, too, you know. It's not our
How many COC meetings have you been at and somebody said something and everybody says, yeah, I'm ready to do that. And a couple of days later, call me. We'll talk. We'll do lunch. Oh, man, I can't. I guess something came up. I can't do it.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that one?
Yeah, things don't move very quickly in our world.
No, unless it concerns you at that moment.
Yes, exactly. Right?
Yep.
Or their pocketbook.
Well, you know, I don't think people realize that, you know, they're still able to ride their bike, they're still able to go. But, you know, we're slowly getting all of our rights shipped away. And, again, how much, I mean, what is it going to take? I mean, everybody's already complaining. I don't know whether you're an independent or, you know, 1% club or club of color. That's not a traditional motorcycle club. Everybody is getting pulled over, right? And whether it's strictly for money or whether it's power control or just asking, you know, in police cruisers.
Yeah, or they're going to sit back and instead of license and registration, it's going to be papers, please.
Exactly. Oh, yes. Yeah. And they'll be having those heavy German-like accents.
Please.
Are we there now when we already have a state that can say, where are your papers? And it may be supposedly not targeted towards a group.
Well, actually, they're doing that now. The TSA is doing that.
Yep.
They're
yes.
geared for immigration issues, so they are asking for papers.
Yep.
On the borders, at bus stops.
Yep. I where I was Sunday, they gave out some T-shirts. Granted, you know, usually when I go to these things and somebody gives me a free T-shirt, it's either a 2X or a 3X because they ran out of the other ones. And then some of my friends that get the small, medium, or large, and they can use the 2 or 3X, 4X. So we end up swapping a couple weeks down the road. But the front of this shirt said, I'm legal. That's what they gave out to everybody. The shirt, front of the shirt, legal.
You know what's kind of sad? I find sad is we are starting to label ourselves, and we're allowing the government to label each one of us.
Well, let me take that a step further. The government is also trying to turn us against each other and report on each other as well.
Yep. See something, say something.
Yep, that's the TSA motto.
See something, say something.
Yep, and just, you know, they pass out flyers at, you know, gun stores or supply stores or, you know, places where you hawk your stuff. And, you know, and if you're there, like, buying gear or things, you know, emergency equipment and stuff, if anybody who looks suspicious, they want them to report them to the FBI. I mean, and that goes back, I guess, to the thing that you had posted and talked about last week, Phil, right? It's, you know, all the liberty-loving people are being labeled, again, as Fran says, as terrorists.
Right.
Or potential terrorists.
I mean,
that's absurd.
I've been at a few places, and like I've seen, and we didn't get a chance to ask him about this, but someone I had on the show, I seen them coming, going to the Easy Rider show. Light was green, everybody had turn signals on, but they still pulled him over anyway because they wanted to see who it was. Then once they found out who it was, and he was an actor on a certain TV series, they were posing for pictures and getting autographs.
Yeah, right. Right.
The reason they pulled him over, they recognized who it was, and they wanted to get an autograph and a picture standing next to a police car.
Total abuse of their badges.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
That was the first time and the last time I was told that'll happen.
Well, let me ask you this. Going back to Sunday, should we be wearing black armbands?
Ooh, symbolic. I like it.
I guess you can kind of tell I'm from the old days. But do we wear black armbands? Do we have something that says freedom? Where's yours?
Well, you know, this is a protest, right? So at the minimum, we need to bring down some things to write creative opinions so that we can hold them at least, right? I guess I got to take some tips from the Occupy movement because we got to be prepared somewhat. We have to have some things there. And I don't know if we can get to, you know, unless we have funding for this and being able to buy a bunch of black armbands, some of us would go down.
I'm going to the store and get a whole bunch of black fabric, and we can just tie it to our arms.
There you go. Hey.
We don't need to have, I can do that.
Okay. Right on.
I mean, that's easy. In fact, I'll go to the store tomorrow, after I get done work, and buy the stuff.
And I'll let you know what time we're riding up there.
All right. All right. You know I'm good for it.
Yeah.
Even with a toothache, honey, I'll ride next to you.
Okay.
I might be a little bitchy, but I'll ride up with you.
Okay. But now we're getting down to the last 10 minutes, but Nora, what do you think about all that?
There's just so much. I mean, I'm just at a loss, you know, because there's a lot of it I don't understand, you know, and the other stuff, it's, I don't know. I don't know how you all deal with everything like you do every day.
It's called walk softly and carry a big hammer.
I understand that, but I mean, your laws are so different in your state than what it is here.
Blame it on the liberals.
Nora, I don't think it's so much that the laws are different. It's basically how are they enforced.
Right.
And if you have officers that are out of control, and we have had a few, more than our share, that
right.
have been out of control, that have decided that whether it is law or not, to push the issues to meet their needs and let it, and then say, well, you go to the courts and fight it out. This is
right.
what I'm giving you. And so when when you're up against that type of issues, or when, and it's really sad because it's not just officers, it's their upper command that are telling them what to do, and as sheep, they're following their upper officers because they want to at some point to go up that ladder so they can make a better dollar.
Well, I was told that all the guys that come to Oceanside, they make them motor officers first, so they can get ranked faster. That's what I was told.
Well, okay, so there you go. That's your tip off.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to look at the whole pie. I look at the bikers. I look at the laws. I look at the officers, and you know something? No matter how you slice this pie, nobody really knows what it is that they're doing, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent.
No.
Unfortunately, we're the ones at this point that are on the wrong end. Now, if there was really a civil rights movement that the officers needed some real help, how much do you want to bet that they might actually go to the bikers and say, you know what, we really need you? And I bet you that there's some townships that wouldn't think twice about going to Bill's shop and say, Bill, we need help.
They've done that.
I know. Well, I know that. But
as well as they walk in there at least once a week and ask questions about how to join a club.
Oh, no, I don't mean that. I mean come and ask for assistance in...
The same guys come and ask how to join a club.
Oh, my God, I had somebody ask me that. I'm like, where are you coming to me? I'm a female. Huh. Why do I look like I'm a male? Oh.
Well, you should have invited him to bed first and say, well, this is where we start.
No, I lived in a different country. Ah. I was just like, oh, my God.
Never mind.
And he's like, how can you hook me up by getting in? I said, getting in where? And
yeah.
He's like, with the club. I'm like, what club?
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm nobody. I know nothing. Oh, my God. They're crazy.
No. But I think Thursday, Bobby Swatch said she was going to call back with some more stuff. If you got anything else that's coming up that you want to do Thursday, please call in. I'm gonna shut this down right now. And I picked a perfect song, Fran. This is for you. This one's by Don McLean. It's called American Pie.
There you go.
I thank everybody for tuning in and staying hanging in there and listening to stuff. And we'll talk to you guys Thursday. And I'm going to let this guy take us out.
Good night,
all.
Have a great night.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, maybe they'd be happy for a while. February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day. The music.